Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles with you, I want to start right up front in Acts chapter 3. And I want to read this passage to you, and then we're going to unpack it and talk about it a little bit. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Thank you, worship team. You guys are amazing. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This week, I had the privilege to go to the National Gallery of Victoria. My mum and dad were visiting for the wedding, so we went on a little outing and we said, let's go to the gallery. When I got there, I realised that there was actually an exhibition on for a very famous printmaker. His name is Escher. And I studied art at school, and I remember seeing his artwork, and I was excited. I'm like, wow, this is going to be awesome. And I actually have one of these pieces that I want to show you this morning, because I think it's going to help us to understand what I'm trying to talk about. So this particular piece is called Belvedere. And you may have seen this. It's fairly famous. And, you know, it's probably not the painting you're going to put on your wall at home. It's a little bit bland. It's interesting, a bit medieval, some characters there. It's a nice enough painting and print. It's a lithograph. That's caught our attention. But what I want you to do for a moment is I actually want you to focus a little bit more carefully. We've already just looked at it. It's like, yeah, it's nice, Helen. But take a moment to focus, because if you focus, you'll see that this pillar here goes to the front here, but to the back here. That the same thing happens over here. That the front of the building is actually square and like a normal building, yet there's a ladder that goes from the second floor to the third floor that's on an angle. It actually doesn't make sense. What at first looked okay, looked normal, looked like it worked, when we focus, when we actually take the time to look a little bit more carefully, we see that it is actually an impossible object. That this is not something that could actually exist in reality. But the only way that you got to see that was if you stopped and shifted your thinking. When you actually had to tell your brain to stop thinking what it knows should be correct. You had to rethink what you thought should be real, because what you see is not actually what you see. And I think this is exactly what Peter was doing when he met that man, that crippled man. This picture helps us to understand what Peter was doing. And Peter says to this man, "Look at me." Now let's go back to the reality of this crippled man. This man who was carried to this door, to this gateway, every single day so he could raise money, so he could receive, so he could beg from people. And he was positioned, his reality was he wasn't independent. He was dependent on other people to take him where he needed to go. His reality was he was down low. Everything he saw was low. Everything he saw was at the perspective of knees. His reality was that he had to, that these men might be able to give him money, that they were going to treat him like a beggar, This was his reality. This is what he saw and what he expected. And so he asks them for something. We assume he asked them for money. And Peter knew that there was actually potential for more than what this man was actually asking for. Peter knew that there was more that he could give him. And so he gives him this instruction in verse 4. He says to him, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter says, look at us. Look at us. Now, Kath and Kim have made this famous statement out of this. For the Aussies in the room, for those overseas, maybe you don't understand, but for Aussies, the look at me, has become quite famous in our daily lives. And, you know, I think as Aussies, we probably sound like that. But Peter said, look at me, look at me. I don't know about you, but as a parent, I remember when Mark was little, sorry, I'm not being sexist, but this is a boy thing more than a girl thing. But I would have to say to him, Mark, look at me, look at me. Go into your room and get your school bag. Oh, why? Why did I do that? I needed his attention. I needed his focus. I needed his undivided looking at me attention so that we could move forward in what we needed to do. So Peter says, look at me. He tells him to look at me. Don't look around, he says to the crippled man. Don't look around. Don't be distracted by your reality. Don't be distracted by what you know, by what you know is real. Just look at me, because I know I have the power through the living God to bring you more than silver and gold. I know what I have for you, but just look at me. Stop thinking about the facts of your situation, crippled man. Put your focus here. And what was the man's response? What does the man do? And this today is the key for us, what this man does. I want to read this together. Chapter 3, verse 5, it says, let's all in one big voice. Oh, is that 5? So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from him. The crippled man gave them his full, undivided attention. He looked at them expectant. I'm expecting something here. What are you going to give me? A couple of coins? The amazing thing is that this man actually received 100 times more than what he expected. He received over and above. He received strength in his legs. He received complete healing. He was actually alive and able to live to the fullest of his capacity. That's what he received. But it started with focus and expectation. He gave them his full attention and he expected something. And you know what, in this final week of our series on the weapons of warfare, we're talking about fasting. And today I'm talking about fasting because it's one of the weapons that we've got the access to as Christians that can often be left neglected. And today that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, this week we're going to fast as a church, as Dave's already explained. We're going to start tomorrow. And we're going to finish next Sunday as we come to church together. So we've got a whole week of prayer and fasting. Now, you know, maybe you're new here today. Maybe you're a guest. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you've just been here a couple of months. Come on the journey with us. Keep your ears open. Don't be like, oh, that's for them. Maybe God's got something for you today as well. Maybe God wants to stretch your faith a little bit. Maybe God wants to turn up in your world and he's waiting for your focus and your expectation. Maybe you've never experienced God in a powerful way. Well, why not? Why wouldn't he want to do that for you? Why wouldn't he want to be involved in your space? I believe he would. So as we're talking, this is for all of us, whether you're a part of Lifehouse or you're a guest, I believe all of us can participate in what we're doing. Fasting. Here's a definition, a quote for you. Fasting, they're going to put it up on the screen, is one of the ways we can focus our attention more deliberately on God and express our expectation to hear, to receive, and to be transformed by him. No, not that one. Yes, that one. Yay. Good on you guys. Well done. Fasting is one of the ways we can focus our attention more deliberately on God and express. Fasting is an expression of our expectation to hear, to receive, and to be transformed. That's what we're doing this week as we fast. Fasting creates an environment for us where we can focus more on God, where we can more easily hear His voice. Now, there are all sorts of fasts. Many of you, I went on a 40-hour famine fast many, many years ago, raising money for World Vision. Maybe you've grown up as a child and you've fasted for Lent. Maybe you've fasted for a health reason. Maybe you're having a blood test and you've fasted. There's all sorts of fasts. So I thought I'd just go straight back to the Bible. What's a biblical fast? What do you reckon? How's that sound? So biblical fasting is actually about no food. Sorry about that. But now let me show you this from the meaning of the word fast in Scripture, and they're going to put this up for us. It's translated, the word fast is actually translated in the Hebrew, it's not to eat. And in the Greek, I'm not pronouncing them because you'll laugh at me, not going there. In the Greek, it's no food. What does that mean? Let me think for a minute. It's the voluntary abstinence from food. Now, that's what fast actually means. So let's not get religious. Let's not put rules and laws on things. Let's not suddenly now look at one another and point fingers and say, did you? You should have. Why didn't you? No. Do whatever you like. But when the Bible talks about fasting, it is saying to us, leave out food, go without food, because God knows that food is such a significant part of all our lives. So the fast is ideally not eating in some way. But honestly, do whatever you like, participate in some way, leave out something in your life. The whole point is leave out something and replace it with drawing closer to God. Replace it with hungering for God. Replace it with hearing His voice. Replace it with reading your Bible. Don't just take stuff out and then do everything else the same. The objective is that we are actually saying to God, I'm expecting you to speak to me, lead me, guide me, show me. The reason we're doing it is that we can say to God, I want your way, your higher way. I know maybe what I'm doing is good, but I want to do my best. I want you to lead me to my best, God. I want to have the best business I can have. I want to be the most fruitful in my workplace. I want the best marriage I can have. So God, as I focus on you, I'm expecting you to lead me forward in those things. Is that good? Come on, why don't you give him a shout of praise. So I thought some practical tips would be helpful. Couple of hot tips for fasting. So the first one is choose what to leave out, not what to add in. Choose what to leave out, not what to add in. Now, let me just say, I'm assuming we're all on the page here. I'm assuming we're all going on this journey of in some way or other, all right? So just stay with me, okay? Don't check out. So when we first started fasting, I've been a Christian 40 years. And I'm going to be 50 this year. Isn't that awesome? I'm so excited. Yeah, you're not very excited, but that'll be all right. When I get the presents, you'll be excited, all right? So I've been a Christian for 40 plus years, and I never fasted until probably 6-7 years ago. It was just something that I thought, no, that's not for me, no. So I get it. If you're in your mind, you're like, oh, I don't know about this. I'm with you. I was there. So when we first started fasting, we did it as a church many, many years ago, and I wasn't really excited about the idea, but, you know, got to get with the program. And so I did, and I spent the whole week, that week, chopping, cutting, cooking, finding recipes, creating different things, because we did the Daniel fast, which is a way of eating without lots of vegetables, natural foods, and leaving out meat and dairy. So, and you can do that. You'll see that on our website. On the app, there's information about that. You can do the Daniel fast this week. That's awesome. But I've got to tell you, all I did was chop and cut and measure things and try to come up with creative recipes and compare recipes. And all I did all week was think about food. I don't think I had time to pray, time to read my Bible. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the most complicated thing I've ever done. So I suggest that you don't do that. Think about what you're going to leave out, not what you're going to add in. So rather than your family trying to come up with all these new ways and new things, decide as a family, we're going to leave out some things. Maybe it's as simple as leaving out sauces and flavours. Maybe it's as simple as leaving out dessert for the kids. Guys, this week as a family, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to have dessert. What, Mum? In your lunchboxes, there are no LCMs. Is that what they're called? There are no candy treats. In this week in your lunchbox, we're going to have just healthy food. Oh, Mum, we always have healthy food. Well, this week we're going to a new level, all right? But because I know you guys are all amazing parents. Well, in my day, my kids' lunchboxes were full of sugar. But you guys, you're not like that. But, you know, pick something that as a family together, you can say we're going to miss out on something because we want to seek God, because we're believing God, because of where we're heading as a family and as a church. So explain why, but keep it simple. Don't get complicated. If you're an adult, give me a wave in the room. Oh, most of us, yes. Look, I'll just be honest. Just give a go at no eating. Just don't eat. Don't eat for a day. Don't eat for half a day. Maybe try it for 2 days and then just eat veggies. Just make it really simple so that your focus is on God in these next few days. Now, of course, seek medical advice. There's a disclaimer here. You must seek medical advice if you're pregnant. You must do that. If you're taking any medications, you must do, like, be sensible. I'm not saying put your body at risk, put your health at risk. I'm just saying that that extra little bit around the middle will probably get you through a few days. To be honest with you, look, hey, and if you eat sugar, that's going to be the problem because it's going to be the sugar screaming, not your body, when you don't have it, or the coffee. But really, keep it simple. Think about what you're going to leave out, not what you're going to add in. Is that good? Is that helpful? Come on, I think a few more people need to think that's helpful. That's too much. Come on, guys, we're doing this. Know your objective. Why? Why are we doing this? Is this just like a week of torture that Lifehouse puts you through every single year? No, it has a purpose because it helps us to focus. It helps us to put our attention on God and to say to Him, we are expectant for you to turn up in our space. That's why we are doing it. So think about, as a church, why are we doing it? We're doing it because it brings great unity. When we fast together and when we pray together, we're going to come together on Wednesday night and we're all going to be ready. We're going to be expectant of God. We're encouraging one another. It's a shared experience. And shared experiences bring unity to a body of people. So as we do this together, it actually helps our church as a body of people go forward. We're doing it in Poznan, in Poland. We're doing it in the East, right across our campuses. We're doing this together. We're also praying for significant things. We're praying that God will take us forward as a church. We're praying that God will help us get a building for the East and a building for Poznan. We're praying for leaders. We're praying for all the things that God is calling us to do through this church. That's why we're fasting as a body. So pray for all those things this week. Make some notes about those. But what about you? What about your personal life? What about your family? Take some time to stop and ask yourselves, what am I believing for this week? Yeah. What am I expecting for? You know, when Peter saw that crippled man down on the ground, he was expecting for something. He was in a position of he was low, he was unable to carry himself, he was limited. Yeah. Where in your life are you limited? Where in your life are you not living to the full expectation of what you want? Where in your business? Where in your family? What breakthrough are you looking for? What salvations are you hoping for around you? What direction do you want for your ministry call? Has God put a seed in your heart to serve in the house somewhere? You don't know how to unpack it, what to do with it. What are you believing for? That young man, that crippled man was believing for just some coins. And God gave him so much more. What are you believing for that God can give you so much more? What are you believing for? What is your impossible that God could come through on? That's why we're fasting. So know what you're fasting for. Write it down. Take the time to write it down. Ask the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe you've never asked the Holy Spirit. Just go, it's so simple. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, what could be in my life that I don't currently have that you want to bless me with? Ask him. And you'll be shocked that he actually has lots of answers. The next thing I think that's a helpful tip is it's probably not going to be fun or easy. Look, if it was fun and if it was easy, we would all be doing it very happily. We wouldn't be doing it like I was, you know, 6 years ago, like a toddler kicking and screaming, no, no, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to do it, I don't want to. That's how most of us, when we talk about this, it's like, oh, really? Oh, no, it's not for me, no. I'm just being upfront. It's not easy. It's not fun. But God tells us to do it. God shows us that there's outcomes. God shows us that there's breakthrough as we do it. Jesus knows that our physical humanity is weak. That's why. There's this battle going on between our human, our physical body, our flesh and our spirit, our God, the God within us. Jesus says in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but altogether, flesh is weak. We know that. So of course it's not going to be excited about not having some snacks tomorrow. Paul tells us that there's this battle, this war going on for our flesh and our spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, he says, so I say, walk by the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Oh, they are in conflict with each other. So here's the answer. So that you are not to do whatever you want. I want to have lunch this week. I want to eat. Oh, there we go. Just for 1 week, just for a few days, just for a day, just for half a day. No, flesh, you'll be fine. I promise you, you'll be fine. You can eat later, have a drink, have some water, have a herbal tea. Do other things that your flesh understands that it's not in charge of your life. Flesh, you are not in charge of my life. Fasting is one of the ways that we can discipline our human flesh. So, I've never been excited about it. I've told you that, but I know the breakthrough that comes through fasting. I know the shift that happens. I know that God takes us forward. I know that there's wisdom that comes. So that's why we do it. I love this statement. Fasting involves the abstinence of something we value. If you don't value it, it's really not fasting. To take hold of something more valuable. We are believing for something more valuable than the most extravagant food or meal or wine that you could possibly imagine. That's what we're expecting of, that God would bring that. And then the last tip is actually pray, that you would actually seek God. That in taking this time to be separate from some things, in leaving things out, that we actually find the time to draw closer to God. You know, I've found over the years that that's been the hardest thing. I've managed to learn how to fast, but how do I then... I haven't had time to pray. So this fast, particularly for me, is fitting in really clear spaces where God can speak to me. Really clear times of prayer, going to another level. You know, it's like anything. Fasting is one of the skills that we get. So if this is your first time, just give it a go. At each time we develop, we hear God more clearly, we move forward and we see what He's doing. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you this week. As a family, read the Bible together. Maybe get out. I had a butcher. Do butchers still use paper? I don't think they do. Poster paper, you know, a big piece of paper. And put it on your kitchen bench and get your kids to write on it. What am I believing God for this week? Do something interactive that helps your kids to focus on what you're doing as a family. Maybe some scriptures. Focus on some specific scriptures this week. I've got some suggestions for you. Psalm 103, Isaiah 58. Philippians, there's four chapters in Philippians. That's 6 days of Bible reading if you want to do that this week. That's just my suggestion for you. use these and others to focus, to like the crippled man when Paul said, look at me. God's saying to us, look at me. Look at me. That's why we're doing this. Don't do all that and then not look at him. Don't fast, but not look. Be expectant. Be ready for more. I love this scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards, blesses, encourages, inspires those who what? Earnestly seek him. Let's earnestly seek him as we fast this week. Let's not make it about the food. Let's make it about earnestly seeking God. You know, I love the idea of saying to God, bring it on. Come on, God, bring it on. Give me all you've got. Give me everything. But so often life is busy. I'm busy. Things are busy. I'm like, God, I really don't have time for that amazing thing you've got for me. I don't have, no, this week, bring it on, God. Bring it on. Come like a flood across our church. Come like a flood. Come like a flood. Speak to us. Give us visions. Give us dreams. Give us the faith for the impossible. Give us the faith for breakthrough in our businesses, in health, in healing, in strength, in courage to do all that God has for us. Bring it on. God, bring it on. I love what Ezra says. In the prophet Ezra, his people, they were actually pretty self-sufficient. They were doing okay. And they were about to travel across a land. And he says this in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 to 23. He says, there by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast. Why? Why did he call this fast? So that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. And this is the bit that captures my attention. He says, I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and the horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Ezra could have done it all by himself. He could have said, excuse me, can we just have some assistance from our affiliates around us, the people that we're partnered with? But he goes, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm going to do this with God and God alone, so that when people see the miracle of us moving across, that we did it on our own, they know it was with God, not with others. What am I talking about? Your business? What can you do in your business this year? And what could God do in your business this year? Your marriage is great. You can keep your marriage awesome. But what if you let God get involved and take it to the next level? What would it look like then? What about your home, your family? What about the salvation of people around us? What if we said, I don't want to do it on my own. God, I want you involved. And Ezra did that. He fasted and he said, God, we want you to be seen and evident and obvious in this situation, in this church. We don't want to just do what we can humanly do. I don't want to do what I can just humanly do. I want people to go, wow, wow, they're not that good. I know Richard's amazing, but he's just not that good. He's pretty amazing, yeah, I know. But he's not that good. God must have shown up. God had to have been involved. God must have been the one that made that happen. That's what I want. Is that what you want? You want the impossible to be seen in your life? You're going to have to refocus. You're going to have to refocus. Just like that picture I showed you at the beginning. As you start this fast, will you let God refocus you? What do you think is normal? Let God blow it out of the water. What do you think is reasonable? The crippled man thought it was reasonable to receive some coins. But Peter knew that what God thought was reasonable was giving him his legs, his energy, his strength, his ability to be independent, his ability to have a job, his ability to have a new perspective. When that young man rose from the ground, he saw life differently. He saw life from this perspective. He looked at people in the eye. His life was transformed. And I'm believing for transformation this week. I'm believing I will not come out the other end of this week the same person I walked in. I'm believing that as I focus and I say to God, I'm expectant, I'm believing, I need you, turn up, bring it on, I'm hungry, never mind, that God will bring transformation, that God will give me a new way to think, that God will change my perception so that the impossible is possible in my life and in yours. Anyone else? Yeah. Anyone else believing for that this week? At the end of that scripture, it says, of the story of the man, it says, the people recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. In Isaiah 58, it says, after the people had fasted and truly sought God after they'd fasted, that they became the repairers of broken walls and the restorers of street dwellings. They became transformed people. And God wants us to be transformed people. He wants us to be people who can have an impact in our community, an impact in our workplace. He wants us to carry his heart everywhere we go, but it only happens after we focused and received from him. We've been transformed. That's what captures people's attention. It's too easy to run out and just be like, God, we're going to do all these great things. He goes, it's not with me. It's not going to capture their attention. Yeah. Has to be with him. Yeah? Yeah. So I'm hoping if you were thinking the fast wasn't for you, you might be thinking, might give it a go. Might cut out that cake I have for morning tea. If that's as simple, it is awesome. I might not have wine this week. You know what? I'm going to go all the way and I'm going to have nothing. See how, whatever it is, however you're going to participate, I just want to invite you to participate. I want to invite you to be part of it. Everybody, whether you're here for the first time or you've been here 100 times, we would love you to fast and pray with us as a body. And, you know, maybe you're thinking, well, that's great, but I don't even know God. I've never been connected to God. So first of all, the first thing we can all do is actually be connected to Jesus. And as I said, I've been a Christian for 40 plus years. I've been on this walk of faith and it's amazing. And I go from strength to strength and then sometimes a bit of a hiccup and I go forward again. But God is with me. God is talking to me. God is helping me. Jesus died for me so that I could have that relationship. And he's done that for every single one of us in the room.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.